As a church, we have been looking at the five values or the heartbeats for this house, for this church. And when I spoke about the heartbeats, we haven't done it for, I think, probably 2 weeks now. And today is the last one of the five heartbeats that we are doing. And I want to cover that today. And the reason for the heartbeats is similar to having all singing from the same page, if I can put it that way. Because once you know the values of a house, once you know the values of a team, for example, you're playing in a team, you know their values, you all then flow together and you work together. When you understand the values of the house, then you flow together and you work together. And so today we are going to talk about the value or the heartbeat of togetherness. Togetherness. And how many know that there is a time, this is now the time for us to come together. We need to show solidarity together. And so it's the fifth value of the church. And previously, I know I covered the four others that you may have missed. But if you go on our website, Lighthouse Church, if you Google Lighthouse Church New Malden, you will get to our website straight away. Or you can put all the W's. Lighthouse-church.org.uk, and all the messages are there. There is a written one, and also the voice as well is there. So you can always go back to that and remind yourselves of what the other four were. But just to give you a summary of what they were, the first one we spoke about was honor. And that what it meant was to honor God and to honor one another. What do we mean by honor? Is to put weight behind something or somebody. God said, if you honor my house, if you put weight behind the things of God, God will put his weight behind what you do. Can you see that? Putting weight behind, honor is not just a word we use. It is something that you do in order to honor somebody. So you put some weight, you do something about getting somebody to some place or doing something for somebody so that you value that person and bring honor to that person. We also covered the word excellence, and that's something that underpins who we are. We want to do things excellently. It's not, nothing is perfect. We can never attain perfection. God is perfect. We aren't perfect, but we can be on that road to excellence because we want to do things excellently in everything. And so excellence is how we do things. It underpins what we do. It underpins everything that we do. There has to be a spirit of excellence in everything we do, and then we'll do everything really well. Then we spoke about advancement, and that's about making progress. None of us in our lives want to stay stagnant, do we? I think that's a boring place to be if you're just staying in one place, not going anywhere, not doing anything. We want to advance, and not just ourselves, but we want to advance the kingdom of God. Why? Because the kingdom of God is a movement of God. It's something that we carry in us. And wherever we go, we are carrying the kingdom of God. Because Jesus, the kingdom of God is where? In you and in me. Tell your neighbor, that's in you. You're a carrier of the kingdom of God. We want to advance and progress in relationships. We want to progress in ministering to one another. The fourth one was reaching out. And reaching out is our collective mission. It's not just for me or not just for leaders of churches. It is for each and every one of us. God's put us here to reach out to people. If you look at the great mandate that Jesus declared and left for us, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, correct? Matthew 28, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so our mandate is to reach out in obedience to God's word. How do we do that? By reaching out to our neighbors, by reaching out to our community. We as a church, we are very focused on reaching out to our community. Hence the reason why we have Who Let the Dads Out? That's why we have the Mom's Coffee Morning. It's because we want to reach and connect with people in the community. That's what church is all about. So today, we are focusing on togetherness. And you know something? Everybody likes to belong, don't we? I don't think anyone wants to be a loner. Everybody wants to belong. Everybody wants to have an identity. Where do I come from? Who am I? What am I? It's a feeling of being connected to people. In a church setting, it is knowing who you're connected to and who you're serving with. Why? Because we are serving one another in the house of God. And it's serving one another with a pure heart and with a pure conscience, because we want to serve one another. If you came in this morning, I hope you experience a hospitality. We love to serve people. We're always there to bless people. Doing this HEART, H-E-A-R-T, that's the acronym for honor, excellence, advancement, reaching out, and togetherness. Doing this series, what does it do to the church? It helps us know what values we hold dear to us. And it also helps us to put into practice these values. And once we put it into practice, what happens? It helps us as a team, as a collective group of people, to move forward in one direction. If you take a team, a football team, or a team of people, or a group of people, they have values. If you take an organization, I work for a multinational global organization, and we have a set of values in our organization, and they're very hot on our values. Everything is done based on the values. Every objective we have is based on our values. Why? Because they want the whole organization, not just in the United Kingdom, it's across the world. They want everybody focusing and working towards one goal. And so as a church, when we embrace these values, when we embrace these things, what happens to us? We come together as one group and we move forward as one group with one aim, with one goal, with one motivation. Can you see that? That's why we have values in the house of God. When we embed these values, there is a sense of togetherness, which is so important for the church to be able to move forward. It's like an army of people, who have come together and who have one defense strategy. How many know that if you are in an army, if you see an army, they have one defense strategy, and everybody sticks to that plan. Nobody goes off on their own thing, or let me try another tactic. They have one tactic and they put it into operation. Correct? Because they find that's the one way of coming against the enemy. We have an enemy. Well, really? Oh, yes, we do. And he's working 24/7. And the reason why you see so much of carnage and damage and things that are happening around the world today is because this enemy of ours is active. He's busy trying to disrupt people's lives, trying to bring destruction and calamity into the lives of people. He's trying to destroy the peace that people want to enjoy. That is our enemy. And when we as a church collectively come together and we understand who our common enemy is, who is not our fellow human being. That's why when I prayed for the spirit behind these things that are happening. Because intrinsically, people are, they're not born wicked, they're not born evil. But the prince of this world, the devil, Satan himself, has twisted the minds of people. And somehow he's captivated them. And he's using people to destroy other people. And so we bind the spirit that is behind this, because it's a spirit that operates. When we come together and we fight together, we certainly have the victory. We have the same outcome. Unity and oneness flows out of being together. The Old Testament talks about togetherness. Let me put up some scriptures for you. Leviticus 26, the third book in the Bible, chapter 26 and verse 8 tells you this. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you 10,000. You will defeat all your enemies. 5 will chase how many? A few. But 100 will chase many. When we come together, we are an amazing, formidable force. And what will we do? We will put to flight, or we will destroy those who are coming up against us, our enemies. If you look at Deuteronomy 32 and verse 30, it says that, how could one person chase 1,000 of them and two people put 10,000 to flight? Together we are stronger. Together we are more powerful. And that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. Influence and change comes when everybody comes together. Have you found that when there are petitions being circulated, why do they do that? If you want to change government laws, what do? You sign up to a petition, don't you? Why? Because the more the thousands that sign up to a petition, somebody has to do something about it. And when you come together in that manner, you can influence and bring change into our community, into our nation. And I believe that this can come through the church. Why? Because we have a message that comes out of love, that comes out of a place of loving people and caring for people. It's not a harsh message. It's not a message to destroy people. It's a message to embrace people. It's a message that goes beyond anything and everything to say whatever state you're in, it really doesn't matter. God still loves you in the state that you are. That's who God is. You see, movements come about and change happen through one purpose. And so should we be as God's people, as God's house. That as we come together and we start movements, those movements can bring change. How many know our society needs to encounter Jesus? Our young people today need to encounter Jesus. Just one touch from Jesus will change their perspective, will change attitudes, will change lives. One touch of Jesus. We are more effective when we are together. And the book of Psalms, actually, if you turn to Psalms 133, is a beautiful psalm. If you haven't underlined that scripture, please do 133 of book of Psalms. And David there, he writes a beautiful passage. I'm just trying to turn that over right now. And he says this. He says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Can you see that? How good and how pleasant it is when brothers, sisters, when people dwell together in unity. And actually, if you read that scripture a little more, it says there that in that scenario, in that unity, in that togetherness, in that oneness, God commands blessing. Is that amazing? When we are together, God commands blessing. God is moved by people coming together. God gets excited by people coming together. And that's His whole purpose. Together is different to just being together. And let me explain like this. You can be close to people in a crowd, but not together. Together, correct? You may be together in the same place, but you may not be together in your thinking, in your outlook, in your values, and in your goals. When you are together, together. When you are together, together. What does that mean? It's having one heart. It's having one mind. It's having one purpose. That's together, together. And God gets excited about people coming together. He gets behind togetherness. He puts weight behind togetherness. He loves togetherness. In the Hebrew, the word for togetherness is called gam yahad. And the picture of gam yahad is people coming together, people sitting down, committed to stay together whatever happens. People coming together, committed to stay together through whatever situation. That's the meaning of gam yahad. In the good, we laugh together. In the struggles, we stand together. And that's why even this morning I prayed for those who have gone through these atrocities, who have faced these atrocities. Why? We want to stand with them in prayer. We are not physically there on the ground, but we have a mighty weapon in God, and that is prayer. And we can pray for people who have gone through these distressing times. One of the other ways that we can help people is financially. And one of the things that I want to do, and I want to ask people, is I want people to give so we can give to this church on the east coast of Batticolo. Because people there need to be blessed. And so I'm just throwing it out there. If you really feel that you want to bless people, then you can give an offering to the church here. We'll collect it in this house. It'll go through this house. There's accountability because it's going to, we know where it's going to. It's not going to some non-governmental organization. It's going to a church that has suffered as a result of terrorism. In the good, we laugh. In the struggle, we stand. In the abundance, we enjoy life together. In sickness, we heal together. Whatever happens, we are committed to being together. Why? Because God loves unity. And what does He do? He commands blessing. He commands blessing. See, once you come into that place of unity and oneness, you fight to keep it, correct? That's why between husband and wife, what do? We fight for our marriage. Why? Because we know the unity that is so key, that is so vitally important, so we fight for it. We don't give up. We fight for our children, don't we? We don't just say, oh, okay, you know, do whatever you like with them. No. Why? Because we have a togetherness, there's a oneness, they are family. And nobody touches my family, correct? No matter what happens, you will protect your family. Even if you don't have the strength at the time, somehow your adrenaline pumps in, you know, and you get superhuman strength. You will do whatever it takes to save your child from whatever situation they are facing. And the same happens when we have caught that togetherness, the spirit of togetherness, when we know that we are family. We will fight together a common enemy. We will not allow the enemy to steal or kill or destroy, because that's his mandate. That's his job. We will fight and stay and keep fighting for one another. Why? Because we know we are family. And church, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being family. That's togetherness. In the book of Acts, we read where the disciples were together in one place, Acts chapter 2. And they were in one accord. That's what it says, in one accord. In other words, they were together in one place. They were having the same heart, the same mind, the same outlook. And the Spirit of God moved mightily amongst them. To be together, together, is a process where you have come to trust each other and value one another, where you have learned to listen to each other. And sometimes that happens over time, learning to listen to one another. Together talks about being family, as I said earlier. It's moving from the status of being a spectator to the status of playing in the game. That's being together. When you're playing in a team, if you're standing on the outside, you're not part of the team. You're not together in that team. And similarly, together means you are part of the family of God. You're part of the local church. You're part of what God has put in you. Togetherness is moving from association, where you know somebody. You just move by association, you know someone. You don't know them that well, but you kind of know them. Then you move to the stage of aligning with, after a while, you move to the stage of aligning with them. You think, aha, what they're doing is actually good. I like their values. I like to embrace their values. You align yourself. And then after a while, you come to agree with them and say, yeah, I'm willing to put some muscle here. I agree with what they're doing. I want to put something into this place. And you come into that place of agreement. In order for the church to have impact and teams to work effectively, we have to work hard to keep that unity and that oneness. We've got to work hard to keep that unity and that oneness. Why? Because the enemy is very clever at bringing about discord and disharmony, correct? And how does he do that? Through gossip and slander. And if you're not careful, the enemy can creep in and steal that unity and that oneness. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul talks about this. Paul talks about endeavoring, in other words, working hard to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In other words, you've got to work hard at it. It won't just happen. You've got to keep going at it. Keep endeavoring to keep that unity. If there's one strategy that the devil will use against the church, it is a divisive spirit of disunity. It will cause division and kill vision. When he causes division, he kills vision. And so when you lose vision, you lose it. And he attacks. What does he attack? He attacks our trust. He attacks our connectiveness. And the scripture says where there's arguing and strife and division, you cannot get anything done. You've got to come to a place of agreement. Togetherness says this, that we both have perspectives, so let's put our perspectives on the table and let's have a discussion. Let's look for some common ground. Let's look for some agreement to see how we can work together. That's saying, I want to be together with you. The more we do that, the closer we get to be team. What is team? Together, everybody achieves more. Every team goes through stages in their development. A team doesn't happen automatically. There's a stage, there's a development. The first stage of forming is forming, where they come together. Somehow, people group together, don't they? It could be on various levels, but they group, they form. But then the second stage is the critical stage, and that stage is called storming. This is where people, they question your values, they question your goals, they want to know where you are coming from, where you are heading to. They want to know many things about what you are about and what you are doing. That's the storming stage. And many teams fail at this stage. They're unable to push through this stage of storming. When you push through this stage of storming, you come into a place and it's called norming stage. And the norming stage is where you agree. You come to a place of agreement as to who you are, what you are, what you're doing and where you're going. And many people, many times, they cannot get through to the norming stage because at the storming stage, they find it difficult to get over certain things that happen in people's lives. They fail, they forget, they fail to get over that second stage. The norming stage then leads to performing. When you come through the storming into the norming, then you come into the performing. That is where you find that sweet spot of working together. When you are together, where you are performing really well as a team. As a church, we have come to that place in our setup team. There is a sweetness in that coming together. There is nobody who comes there and argues or grumbles or comes with a bad day experience. When they walk into this place at 8:30 in the morning, they brush off everything else and they say, "We are here for one purpose. We are here for unity. We are here for oneness. We are here to build kingdom." And nothing is going to stop or hinder God's plan and purpose flowing into our lives. And so we are, as a church, we are blessed that we have a great team of people. Let's look at a football team. I know Simon likes football. And he listens. Look, his specs are off. His ears are now perked. You know, they're ready. Okay. Right, so when you are... Check this out with Simon later. But here's an interesting fact on a football pitch. A football player, when he passes the ball, he doesn't pass the ball to the player who is on that spot. Where does he pass the ball? He passes the ball to the spot where he thinks the player is going to be. Correct? You pass the ball to the place they anticipate where this person is going to be in the next few seconds, and they pass the ball to that spot. And that takes a lot of practice. There is a sense of anticipation of the movements of the other players because they know where they're going to be even before they are already there. They have that anticipation. They know where that player is going to be. Similarly, I think teams can work together when each of us know our team and we're able to anticipate where the other team member is going to be. It's to look for those things that you think, I can help that person. I see something happening there. Let me put my weight behind it. I see that there is a gap here. Let me put my weight behind that. Let me see this area where this person is going and help this person along. And I believe that when we see those gaps, when we anticipate those gaps, when we know where the next move is going to be, we kick the ball into that area so that the other person can take that and shoot the goal. Correct? Am I right, Simon? Oh, good. Let's be the people who are willing to go through the storming stage of being open, being honest, but sometimes having those conflicting conversations. Sometimes we got to go through some conflicting conversations in order to build true unity and oneness. How many know that? Even in the life of Jesus, there were times when Jesus confronted and corrected people, right? He did that to Peter. Why? Because he loved Peter. Why do we confront? Why do we correct? It's because we love people. And sometimes in order to come to that place of unity and oneness, we got to go through that season of being corrected so that we can understand our values, understand where we are heading and where we are going. When we are together, when we flow together, there's incredible loyalty. There's incredible synergy. And there is incredible impact. Together. Nobody can get in between a team of people or a church that's together. And I hope you got the essence of what I'm trying to say this morning, is that as a people, We need to come to a place where we understand that unity is more important than always being right. I like that. Unity is more important than always being right. Looking for some common ground, because we all have opinions of different things, but there are common grounds that we can agree on. Correct? It's more important than being the best at everything. It's more important than our feelings. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 24, it says this. Hebrews chapter 10 and 24, and I'm going to close. Let us think of ways. Let us think of ways. Paul, we believe Paul was a writer. We do not know exactly who the writer of the Hebrews was. But the writer of the Hebrews says, let us think of always to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. What does he say? Let us motivate each other to acts of love and good works. Verse 25, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Let us not neglect the gathering of people together. Why? Because in a gathering of people, there's unity, there's oneness. And what does God do? He commands blessing. If you want blessing in your lives, then the more we gather, the more we are together, the more we are in one place, as one team, as one people, the more blessed we become. Don't be a loner. Don't be an island. Don't be aloof at some point, because the blessing comes. I don't say the blessing doesn't come when you're alone. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying God commands blessing when you are together, together. Because God is pleased with unity and oneness. Let me encourage you to embrace these values by honoring one another and honoring God our Father, putting weight behind the things of the kingdom of God, putting weight behind somebody and what they're doing, honoring them truly, bringing a spirit of excellence into our own lives, into our homes, into our families, but a spirit of excellence into the house of God. I always operate with a spirit of excellence. Why? We have an excellent God who is worthy of all our praise, all our worship, all our adoration, and all our thanksgiving. Let's bring a spirit of excellence. Let's think about advancing the kingdom of God. Why? Because it's all about the kingdom of God. God said in Matthew 28, go into all the world and preach the gospel. All the world could be our neighbors. Today we have a united kingdom that has men and women from all nations. They're right there on our doorstep. Let's advance the kingdom. Let's reach out to people. Let's reach out to those in our community. And let's come together as one body, as one people. I just pray that we will flow together as one body, as one people. We want to see people come to faith in Jesus. We want to see people get equipped for life in Jesus. See, once you have Jesus, and once you have the presence of God in you, when you have the presence of God in you, something begins to happen. Something begins to burn in you. The Spirit of God is active and alive in us. And as a church, we want to see people love Jesus. If there's anything that we want to see happen, is people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Because He's the only way, He's the truth, and He's the life. And this morning, you might be here, and you're thinking, wow, you know, I've heard a lot about Jesus. I've gone through Sunday school. I've gone to church. But somehow I'm feeling a bit void on the inside, a bit empty. And you might be here this morning and thinking, how do I get to know this person called Jesus? It's It's very simple and very easy to know Jesus. He didn't make it hard or complicated. Most religions make it hard and complicated. He didn't tell us to go to a certain mountain or go to a certain shrine or go to some other place to find Him. We find Jesus right where we are. And in this moment, as we are right now, you can have Jesus come into your life, the Spirit of God come into your life. And all you have to say is this. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. Help me, Jesus. I've gone through life. Life has thrown many punches. Jesus, I've tried to take it all on myself. But I thank you that you took my sin. You took my shame. You took all those punches when you died on the cross. And not only did you die on the cross for me, Jesus, you were buried, but you rose again. You rose again for me. And then he said, Jesus, I receive you into my life. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And when you do that, the Bible tells us if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, the Bible tells us that we are saved from what? From eternal damnation, from death and destruction, to eternal life in Jesus. We are taken from the kingdom or from the domain of darkness, and we are translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. It's an amazing change that happens where the old things are all gone, new things have come. I know I was probably 14 years of age when I gave my heart to Jesus. I said, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. You might be whatever age you are this morning. It's never too late to ask Jesus to come into your life. Let's just take a moment, just so the keyboards are playing. It's between you and Jesus. Jesus, I thank you, Lord. Father, if there's somebody here who acknowledged that they need you, God, Holy Spirit, I just ask that you will ignite their spirit right now. That you'll bring a great transformation. That all the old has gone away. It's past, it's finished, it's buried, it's gone. The new has come. A new birth has come. A new spirit has been born. I thank you, God, that as they journey with you, that you will strengthen them. That you will heal any brokenness, any disappointment, any failure. That you will heal even if there are marriages that have been broken. God, I pray you'll heal their heart, the hearts of those who have gone through a traumatic experience. Why I mentioned that right now, but I just sense somebody here may have gone through a traumatic experience in their marriage. And I'm just declaring now that Jesus heal that person. Jesus heal that person right now. Take away the hurt, the pain. Thank you, Jesus.